Well, thank you. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you so much. All right. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated, please. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter number 4. Psalms chapter number 4. I'm so glad for the man in the sound booth. If you will, turn these monitors up. Just crank them up. A little more yet. That's now, is that too loud for you out there? Okay, good. Wonderful. I like that. It helps lower the pitch of my voice. I have a high-pitched voice, and if I don't lower it, I have voice troubles. And let's see, tonight I'll preach the, eighth or ninth time this week, and then next week fly out somewhere else. And so I have to take care of my voice, and isn't it wonderful to be here?
Amen.
Don't you love the joy of the Lord? Don't you love the excitement that it is to serve the Lord?
Amen.
It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. People get excited about other things, but I get excited about the things of the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm glad about that. I thank the Lord for you being here this morning, and I pondered what to preach, and sometimes listen to the message before me to know what to link in with that, and I have a message I believe the Lord has given me, and I'll try not to preach. By the way, what time am I to be done, preacher? Well, I know, but do you got some kind of arrangement here? What time do you need to be? Would be good?
12, but that ain't
going to
happen.
No, it ain't going to happen. That's 18 minutes. I can preach 12 minutes, but won't be much to it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'll try to get done quick as I can. I'll make you a deal. When I get done, I'll quit. And I've heard some preachers got done and didn't quit. Hadn't you, Brother Darrell? Wherever he went. Yeah. And I heard a few never got started, so I better get started here. Yeah. Preach a long time preaching. You know, Paul was a long time preaching, and a fellow fell out a window. And they took him up for dead. His name was Eutychus. Do you know why he was called Eutychus? Eutychus, too, if you'd have fell out the window. You say, Christians don't cuss. A little boy in the Sunday school class, somebody asked him what he knew about the pilgrims. He said, well, they were a people that came and hacking and cussing their way through the wilderness. Teacher said, son, the pilgrims were a religious people. They didn't cuss. He said, I bet some of them did. He said, I bet they didn't say, here comes them sweet Indians again. I bet they was. But a little boy was sitting out, and he had a lawnmower for sale. And a pastor was taking a ride on a bicycle. And he saw this little boy with a lawnmower for sale, and he thought, you know, I need a lawnmower worse than I need a bicycle. And so he stopped and he said, son, how'd you like to have a bicycle? Oh, I would, but I can't afford it. He said, how about a deal? I'll give you this bicycle for your lawnmower. He said, that's a deal. He said, no, wait a minute. Does this thing start? He said, well, yeah, it starts good. So the little fellow jumped on the bicycle, and he was a block down the street, and this preacher started pulling on that thing, and it wouldn't start. He said, hey, boy, come back here. So the boy did a circle in the road and came back. He said, I thought you said this thing started. He said, it does. He said, well, I pulled it 3 times and it won't start. He said, well, you got to cuss at it. He said, son, I can't cuss. I'm a preacher. He said, I ain't cussed in 25, since I got saved 25 years ago. I ain't cussed in 25 years. He said, I forgot how to cuss. He said, you just keep pulling on that rope. It'll come back to you. He said, amazing things happen to preachers, don't it?
Yeah.
Brother Darrell, somebody was telling me the other day about a fella who got a call to preach a funeral. They said it's a graveside service. It's right on the side of the grave. And this fellow was a nobody, and he don't have any family, and I doubt anybody will show up. But somebody ought to say something over everybody. And they invited this preacher, and he thought, well, at least I'll maybe give the gospel to somebody. And so he said, it described where it was, and he had never been out there before. And he said, now, you won't hardly know it. You won't hardly recognize it. It's not much of a place and where an old cemetery was. And this preacher drove out in the country, and he got lost. And he kept watching his watch, and it was time passed when they ought to have the funeral. And he was 45 minutes late. And he thought, well, I missed it. And all of a sudden, there it was. He saw a big pile of dirt and three fellas standing there with their shovels getting ready to shovel the dirt back in, shot his car up and ran across the field. And he said, "Hey, hold it right there." I said, don't fill that hole up full of dirt. He said, "Listen, I got to say some things first." The guys just shocked at him, looked at him. And he quoted Psalms 23. He quoted John 14. He quoted Revelation 20, the last five verses. Got to crying. He said, "Everybody ought to have something said over them." And man, he talked a while. He turned to the fellas, overtook with emotion. He hugged them all. He said, "You don't know how much I appreciate what you're doing. Your labor of love." Their mouths are just hanging open. He said, "Thank you. Appreciate that." He said, "I just want you to know that. Thank you for waiting until I could get here." I said, "You're welcome, sir." And he walked back to his car, sat down on the edge of the field, and those fellas just staring at him. He got in his car and drove away. And as he drove down the road, they were still staring. And one of them said, "Done, Frank, in my 31 years of putting in septic tanks, I have never been appreciated like that right there." I didn't know whether you'd like that or not, but I knew Darryl would get a kick out of that, and so I told him. Amen. Well, to exercise ourselves under godliness. Say amen right there. The lady went to the exercise club. She said, "I'd never been before." And she said, "For one solid hour, I twisted, I turned, I bent over and backwards and right and left. I gyrated for one solid hour. But by the time I got those leotards on, the whole class was over with and it was too late."
Yes, sir.
Even he liked that one. He got a kick out of that one. Psalms chapter number 4. Please, everybody, stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. I'm going to bring you a little message this morning that helped me. And I say everywhere I go, what do you preach when you go out in churches? I preached 48 years. I've been preaching since I was 18. And I preached 48 years. And pastor the same church, 38. Been an evangelist, doing evangelistic work for 45 years or so. And somebody says, "What do you preach when you go out in churches after preaching that much?" I preach what gets me. I figure what gets me will get somebody else. I figure what I need. What I need, somebody else needs. And I needed this message, and God helped me through it. And I want to help you if I can this morning. Psalms chapter 4, verse number 4. "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." Selah. The word Selah means put on the brake, stop, and consider what I just said. Notice he said commune with your own heart upon your own bed and be still. The word commune means communication. He said commune with your own heart. You're always talking about talking to yourself. I was getting ready to go start a church somewhere, and Curtis Hudson told me, he said, "Let me tell you what you need to do." He said, "You need to learn to talk to the devil." He said, "Most preachers know how to talk to God, but they don't know how to talk to the devil." He said, "You got to say, 'In the name and the blood of Jesus, devil, you get out of here. I know you're putting these thoughts in my mind. I know you're the ones that's trying to impress me with this attitude or that one. In the name and the blood of Jesus, devil, you get out of here.'" He said, "You got to learn to address the devil and talk to the devil. And you need to learn to talk to God." And I'm going to add a third one to it. You need to learn to talk to yourself. It's all over the Bible here in our text. Commune with your own heart. Again, in Psalm 77, 6, "I commune with my own heart and my spirit made diligent search." How about Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 6? "I consulted with myself." And many other scriptures in the Bible that tells you need to talk to yourself. And I want to bring you a message this morning. It's not a heavy weight, but it's one that will help you and one you can take home with you. And we'll preach more heavy stuff tonight. But let's ask God to bless us now and give us what we need. And this may be the heaviest thing that you hear this week. It could be because of the truth of it. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless us now. We pray, oh God, I pray that you'll bless us now, for we ask it. Lord Jesus, come stealing in over this place like the fog in the midnight hour. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please. Talk to yourself. I'm talking about drag up a chair, sit down in the chair, and say, self, sit down there. And self sits down, and you say, now, self, I want to have a talk with you. Talk to yourself. Number one, in the hour of decision. Let me race through it now. If you want to jot down a verse or two, you can. I don't care. But I'm going to try to get you out of here by 30 to 40 minutes. And is that all right? Is that all right? Okay, you're the boss. Ain't nobody in this room going to tell me how long to preach or what to preach except one man, the pastor of this church. If he walked up here in 15 minutes and pulled my coattail, said, I didn't like what you said, get out, I'd get out. But ain't nobody else going to do it. There ain't nobody else going to do it. And so you jot it down. I want to get through this in a hurry here. And talk to yourself in the hour of decision. Luke 16, verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and he said unto them, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. He called him. Now look up at me. He called him and said, I hear that you wasted my goods. And you know what this steward said within himself? He talked to himself. The steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I'm ashamed. I can't dig. I'm not a manual laborer. I don't know anything about that. All I've ever been into is management. I don't know anything about manual labor, so I can't. I'd be no good at that. And to beg, I'm ashamed. I don't want to become a beggar. I don't want to just be a slouch and a bum. What am I going to do? I'm about to lose my job. And he said within himself some things.
Right.
And he came up with a plan. And the Lord, the Lord commendeth the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. Do you know what he did wisely? He talked to himself, and the Lord commended the unjust steward. He complimented him because he had done wisely. If you and I would learn to talk to ourselves in the hour of decision. I got a preacher friend, Brother Bell, and years ago he had a church. The church was growing, but a small church. And he got a call from the South where he was from to come to a church in the South, and immediately he assumed that was the will of God. And so he talked to me about it, and I let him know he needed to think some things through. And here's what he did. He pulled out a piece of paper. He told this story. He pulled out a piece of paper, and he wrote on the left-hand side all the reasons he should go South. I mean, my mother and daddy live down there. I want to be near them. I am a Southerner. I don't eat like Yankees and talk like Yankees and think like Yankees. I'm a Southerner. I need to go back and get in my element. Number three, it's as cold as a mother-in-law's kiss in this northern country up here. It's so cold back in January. I heard a scratching at my door one night and went and opened the door. It's my Christmas tree trying to get back in the house. It's so cold. I mean, cold. It's so cold the politicians had their hands in their own pockets. I mean, cold, 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 cold as a mother-in-law's kiss. And that's getting pretty chilly, boys, you got to say. I mean, cold. And I'm going South. I wasn't made for this place, and this place wasn't made for me. He said, I wrote down all the reasons I should go South. And on the other side of the paper, I wrote down all the reasons I should stay. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ called me to this place. I just stared at it. Tore up the paper. Stayed.
That's it.
That's been 22 years ago. He's running 1,500 now in his church. He had a talk with himself.
Amen.
Talk to yourself in the hour of decision. And by the way, when you talk to yourself, you need to be honest with yourself. How many folks have ever heard this expression? If he'd only be honest with himself.
Yeah.
Raise your hand.
Yeah.
We all have. We talk to ourselves, but we're not honest with ourselves. For instance, in Luke 12, 16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he said within himself, now he's doing the right thing. He said within himself, what shall I do? I don't have room to wherewith to bestow all of my goods. He's doing the right thing by talking to himself. And then he turned around and lied to himself. When he said, what shall I do? I don't have wherewith to bestow all of my, I got more than I can handle. What is the first thing that if you say, what am I going to do? I got more than I can handle. You know the first thing hits your mind? give it to somebody else. If you got more than you can handle, see, Brother Cox, now we can relieve you of that burden, can't we, Brother Cox? We'd be glad to take some of that off your hands. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. In the hour, but he lied to himself. Listen to this. Proverbs 20, verse number 5. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now, you say, who's going? Well, I was talking about drawing counsel out of somebody else's heart. No, you can't draw counsel out of somebody else's heart. No man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man that is in him. The only way that counsel can get out of your heart is for you to draw it out. And God has given you some smarts that some of you are not using, and you're about to make a decision and ruin your family and ruin your future and mess yourself up. You need to drag up a chair and set yourself down like my preacher friend did and make a list of some things on one side of the paper, make a list on the other side of the paper, read the paper and have a talk with yourself. Number two, talk with yourselves in the hour of testing. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 6, here's what David said. He said this, David was greatly distressed for the people spake of stoning him. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody here that never gets greatly distressed? I want you to raise your hand because I want you to sign my Bible as soon as service is over. You're the only one that I know of. I mean, we all get greatly distressed. The Bible says David was greatly distressed for the people spake of stoning him. The soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. You know why? David made a stupid mistake. He made a stupid decision. And you know what? If you're distressed because of what somebody else does, that's bad. But if you're distressed because of the stupid thing you did, that's really bad. And he was distressed. But the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It didn't say God encouraged him. Didn't say the word of God encouraged him. Didn't say friends encouraged him. Didn't say his pastor encouraged him. It said David encouraged himself. You say, now, Brother Brown, what did he say to himself that encouraged him? I don't know. But whatever it was got him up and going again.
Amen.
Now, Brother Darrell, when you get distressed and discouraged, you say certain things to yourself. Now, I don't know what you say, because there's certain things you say to yourself wouldn't necessarily encourage me, and certain things I say to myself wouldn't necessarily encourage you, but we both have our patterns, and we know what we drag up a chair, and we have a talk with ourselves, and we encourage ourselves in the Lord our God.
Amen.
In the hour of testing, talk to yourself. Listen, when you go through testing, when you go through trials, if you don't watch, you'll say the wrong thing to yourself.
Amen.
I'll never forget, we had seven children. Actually, we had eight children, and all of them full term, all of them born alive, eight children, but the first one died. 9 perfect months, not a glitch, not a problem, and my wife almost died. And I'll tell you that story in another message I preach. She had 21 days before she could come to the table to eat. We had a doctor that didn't know anything. He'd near come 9 to letting her die. It's a miracle she lived, and a greater miracle she was ever in her right mind after that. But anyway, that being the case, not long after that baby was born and died, my wife grabbed my hand and looked in my face and said, promise me we'll never have another baby. Promise me we will never have another baby. Number one, she about died physically. Number two, it killed her when the baby died. She was saying the wrong thing to herself. 7 wonderful children after that. When you go through a time of distress, you need to talk to yourself. You need to talk. Hey, let me give you, to balance that one, when she was dying, when Diane was dying with cancer, she was down for the count, laying on the couch and visitors coming in and out, and then finally we had to shut the visitors off. She said, how are the children doing? I said, well, pretty good except Rebecca. Rebecca's married to Dr. Jack Treber's son, Tim Treber. And she said, what's wrong with her? I said, oh, she's saying things that bothers me. She said, what's she saying? I said, she's saying things like, my mama's not going to die. God wouldn't let my mother die. My mother's an angel. God wouldn't let my mother die. It ain't going to happen, Daddy. You watch. God's going to heal mama. God's not going to let my mother die. She said, send her to me. Rebecca came to the couch. Diane looked up at her and said, "Now, girl, you listen to me. When I was 16 years old, my 39-year-old mother died instantly and without warning. Blood clot went from below her knee, deep varicose vein blood clot, went from below her knee straight to her heart and killed her dead within minutes. She said, I was in the ambulance when she drew her last breath. She said, it was the end of the world for me, I thought life would never go on. I loved my mother so much, and immediately she was dead. And she said, let me tell you, I thought life was over. I thought that was the end of life. No more girls in the family. She said, I had to become a wife to my father, and I had to become a mother to my two little brothers. And she said, I thought it was the end of life. My mother was gone. But she said, Rebecca, you look at me. She said, I was 16. My mother was 39. She said, you are 23, and I'm 58. And you've got a husband. And God has blessed you. And she said, Rebecca, the greatest years of my life was ahead after my mother died. She said, I mean, my husband, my seven children, this ministry God has used us to build. She said, the greatest years of my life were still ahead after my mother died. And she said, now you look at me. If I can do it, you can do it. She got her to talk to herself. She got her to talk to herself. In the hour of decision, talk to yourself. In the hour of testing, talk to yourself. Job said some things to his friend, Brother Darrell, and Job said some things to his wife. He said, you talk like a foolish woman. But you know what? He first said some things to himself. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who was he talking to? He wasn't talking to the Lord. And he wasn't talking to his wife. And he wasn't talking to his friends. He was talking to himself. He was reminding himself of some things. Bud Silver's wife and all of his children but one were killed in a head-on collision while she was going to a Christian school to teach in the school. Killed them all. Killed 11 of them on the van. Killed the teenagers. Killed everybody. And I said, Brother Bud, didn't you face bitterness? He said, you know, Brother Brown, I never did. I said, how'd you escape bitterness? I mean, here you are trying to get a church off the ground. I said, what'd you do? He said, just kept pastoring the church. I said, well, didn't you get bitter? He said, no. I said, why not? He said, Brother Brown, I just reminded myself, and I never lost sight of the fact that Jesus loved me. If you don't ever lose sight of the fact that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hey, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. Say things to yourself like this. I'm not the only person that ever went through this.
That's right.
I'm not the only person whose husband ever hit him and their head went around about three times. I'm not the only woman. I'm not the only woman whose husband ever walked off and left him for some hip-swinging loose goose somewhere. Yeah, I'm not the only man who ever had a broken heart because his wife left him. I'm not the only person who ever went through that. Talk to yourself.
Amen.
Say some things to yourself that needs to be said. Drag up a chair, set yourself down, and talk to yourself. Number three, talk to yourself in life's natural crises. Listen, life has certain cycles in crisis. How about this verse, Psalms 90, verse number 12. Watch me now, look up at me. So teach us to, I don't care if you take notes while I'm preaching. I just don't want you to miss nothing.
Yes, sir.
This is not class time, it's preaching time. If you want to write, go ahead. But just make sure you don't miss nothing I'm saying. I'd rather you hear what I'm saying than to write something down. Amen. But let me tell you this. Now listen carefully. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now what does it mean, so teach us to number our days? Some of us never even stop to think about the logic of what that means. Number one, what does it not mean? It doesn't mean teach us to number these days, get them all added up, so we'll know exactly how many days we're going to live, so we'll know which day we're going to die on. Now, we know that's not what it means. How many agree that's not what it means, all right? So, well, when you number your days, if it's not knowing how many of them there are, what in the thunder does it mean? Here's what it means, obviously. When you number your days, you're putting them in groupings. There's different divisions of life.
Amen.
Youth, middle age, and old age, for instance, that's one broad grouping of life. Youth, lust of the flesh. Middle age, the lust of the eyes. Old age, the pride of life. Now, you can have lust of the flesh at any age. Somebody asked Dr. Stevens's brother, who was an evangelist for years. They said, how old you got to be before this? Is a young college student, a boy, asked, how old you got to be before this thing of the flesh quits bothering you? He said, son, I don't know. You got to ask somebody older than I am. I'm only 80. I don't know. But you can have lust of the flesh at any age. Say amen. But it's usually the most heat of it is confined to youth. Then middle age, the lust of the eyes, that's a desire to get something. It's middle age when we're concerned with homes and buying homes and accumulating and getting our nest eggs all stored away for old age. But then old age is the pride of life. When I was a boy, let me tell you what I did. Did I ever tell you about my grandson? One fellow said, did I tell you about my new grandson? And his friend said, no, and I appreciate it so much. I want to thank you so much if you didn't do that. You know, pride of life. And Brother Darrell, I've got to the age, if I don't watch, I'll tell about the meetings I've been in and what all happened back yonder, how many places I... Keep your mouth... The Bible says, study to be quiet. And if we don't watch, we got to talk to ourselves. I know there's certain responses and temptations I'm going to have in this age I didn't have in my 30s and 40s. So I try to look at the cycle of life I'm in so I will understand the temptations that are coming to me. Then I can talk to myself and say, I can expect this, this, and this. The cycles of life. Talk to yourself in life's natural crises. I was on an airplane. There was a Catholic lady. She was 52 or 3 years old, and she taught Sunday school in a Catholic church. So she told me, she was a stewardess, very common sense, very settled, sane type woman. And I was going to witness to her. So I was kind of warming up, and I was sitting down. She was standing at the back. She had some free time. And I was chatting with her, her standing up, and I was talking with her, getting ready to witness to her. And I said this, so what about your family? She said, well, I have 3 children. And she told me where they were and what they were doing. And I said, and your husband? Well, she said, my husband left me and he divorced me. And she said something, I'll never forget it, if I live to be 100. She said, he went through the change of life and left me. I said, oh, yeah? She said, yeah. And she stared out the window and she said something so funny and yet it's so truthful. She said, you know, we women, when we go through the change of life, we just dye our hair a different color or something. But he said, these men go stone crazy. And she's right. She's right. Men go through the change of life more dangerously sometimes than women do. I mean, men come to a certain age that they feel like youth is fleeing them. So they try to prove their manhood by getting the attention of some younger woman. And there's always some ditzy woman that's welcoming the attention of any man of any age. And suddenly he feels so impressed that she's impressed with him, and he throws his marriage away and throws his family away, when if he'd just stop and talk to himself and say, hey, it's your age, buddy.
Yes.
I had a preacher friend who held a meeting, 3 meetings for a guy over a period of years. And he said, one of the most sane, sensible fellas, building the greatest church, doing a great job, one of the most calm, common sense guys you ever saw. But said he got it in his late 40s. Said, I went and held a meeting for him. Said, he picked me up to the airport. Said, we went out and he said, get in here, preacher. I want to show you what this thing will do. It had a little old sports car. He said, I sat down in that thing. He went, he said, he about jerked a knot in my neck. He said, he looked over. He said, you pulled out on the expressway. Man, he was popping gears and stacking rubber. He said, I wanted a Ferrari, but my wife wouldn't let me get it. There's nothing wrong with a sports car at any age, but he was going through the change of life. You're going to have to talk to yourself. Amen. Talk to yourself. I had a lady in my church, one of the, if you named a woman that was the most spiritual woman in my church, you would have named this woman most likely. She confided in my wife. They was out on a farm. She confided in my wife. She said, I'm telling you, she said, honest to goodness, something's come over me. I got in my mind. My husband is talking to other women, running around on me. She said, before God, he has never given me a shred of evidence that he's ever done such a thing. And he comes in. I got 40 questions to ask him about where he's been, who he's been talking to, and this, that, and the other. She said, I don't know what's wrong with me. And my wife told her, said, honey, it's just your age. You're going through this thing that women go through. It's just your age. You're going to have to talk to yourself. And until he comes in with some heifer and proves to you he's running around, don't just tell the devil, go on back to hell. Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. Just say, self, drag up a chair and have... Look, I had a woman grew up in my church and was a teenager there and never wore anything that I'd preach against. Never, ever. Got married, had some children, and told my wife, she said, I'm telling you, I am tempted to wear things and go places. I'm talking about long after she was a mother. She never had those temptations as a teenager. But she said, I'm tempted to go places and wear things I've never thought about putting on before. And my wife told her, honey, it's your age. You've just hit that age, and you got to go through that. So teach us to number our days. We need to talk to ourselves in the hour of life's natural crisis. You go through testing and crises of life. Brother Bobby Robertson, Darrell, in the pulpit, if he hadn't told this in the pulpit, I wouldn't tell it here, but in the pulpit, he said, I went through a time I doubted my salvation. It was a hard time. Churches splitting and people was on his case all the time. And he said, I came that close to walking up in the pulpit and telling my people, I've never been saved. I don't know God as my Savior, and resigning and getting out of the ministry. But he said, I stopped and I said to myself, now wait a minute. Am I going to get up and say that all that's been done and all God's used me to do was of the devil? Am I going to get up and say that? Am I going to get up and say, hey, this was all of the devil? He said, I talked to myself.
Yep.
When you go through life's natural crisis, let me tell you, hey, preachers, I want to tell you something. This blew my socks off. Of all the people in the world that I ever heard to say this, Jack Hiles was talking to a group of preachers when he got in his 70s. He was talking to a group of preachers up in Chicago in a preacher's meeting. He said, hey, fellas. He said, I know something you young preachers don't know. You get my age, you get tired of fighting. You get my age, you get tired of being a nut. You get my age, you get tired of making people mad. You get my age, you get tired of being the odd duck. You want people to love you. You get weary with it. You want to be liked. He said, you got to talk to yourself.
Amen.
Who in the world would have dreamed? And the only reason that Jack Hiles stayed the sin-killing, Jesus-loving, devil-hating, heaven-exalting preacher that he did till he died was he talked to himself.
Hey.
And it's amazing. And you got on it this morning, Darrell. You have people join your church. Got a little 10-year-old boy. Brother Bell, oh, we thank God for a man that'll stand. I mean, standards and convictions and this kind of music. It's junky music and churches are killing us. And boy, I want to thank you. And what a blessing. And we're behind you. And everything you preach, man, you get on music standards and dress standards. Amen, Brother Bell. And when those kids get to be teenagers. Brother Bell, couldn't we have a little grace?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to stop and think. You know, it's easy to raise teenagers until you get some.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
And if you don't watch out, you'll be afraid of your own teenager.
Yes. Amen.
You'll be afraid. A fella called Lester Roloff one time and said, Brother Roloff, a preacher. I heard Lester Roloff tell you, Brother Roloff, I didn't know who else to call. I had to call you. My daughter just got in. It's 11:30 at night. And we don't know where she's been. And she won't tell us. Brother Roloff said, well, have you asked her? He said, no. He said, why haven't you asked her? He said, I'm afraid to. He said, how old is she? He said, 13. You ain't gonna turn out children like that. Talk to yourself. When your children, look, it's easy to fight a battle till you get in it.
Right.
It's easy to face raising teenagers with the pressures thereof till you get there. Talk to yourself and say, look, this is going to get tough.
Amen.
All this talk comes cheap. Amen, Brother Bell. Playing on us, preach. But then you get into battle and you'll forsake him, side with your teenagers, and they'll go to hell because you didn't have enough guts to stand. Let me tell you something. I got seven children. I got two sons. And Brother Darrell, let me tell you something. One of those boys, I walked up to him, punched my finger on his chest, and he's nearly a foot taller than me. And I said, son, let me tell you something. You'll never talk to that girl again. If you do, I'll come where you are. I'll clean your clock. Do you hear me? And he gave me a little lip. I got up in his face and I said, let me tell you something, buddy. If you ever try to run off with that girl, I'll track you down. I'll find you wherever you are. You try to marry her, I'll come where you get married, stand up and make a scene there and drag you out. If they put me in prison, I'll do it. Don't you ever talk to that girl again. I saw him fall on his face and cry like a baby wrestling with that thing. It was not easy. But he's my pastor now. And he's thanked me and thanked me. Now he's married to Steve Epley's daughter of the singing Epley family. He said, oh, Daddy, if you hadn't stopped me. Oh, Daddy. Oh, thank you, Daddy. I think about what could have been but he's married to Miss Wonderful, the prettiest thing in the world, and a sweet, just kind of wife every man would want to order. He said, oh, thank you, Daddy. Somebody's going to have to be the big bad dad. Somebody's going to have to get in the driver's seat.
Amen.
Somebody's going to have some backbone. Amen. Backbone. Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. In the hour of life's natural crises. In the hour of life's natural crises. Talk to yourself in the hour of temptation. Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse number 6. Listen to what it says here. He says, I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. I want to ask you a question. Is there anyone in the building this morning that never gets very angry? Get your hand up. Hold it up. I want to see. Because I want you to sign my Bible after service along with that person never gets greatly distressed. You know, okay? Are you with me? No. You get greatly angry. And you know what he said? He said, I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself. He said, I drug up a chair and said, now self, sit down. We're going to have a talk here before we move forward. And he said, after I consulted with myself, I went ahead and rebuked the nobles and took care of some things. There's some things need tended to, but you're going to have to get yourself under control first, or you're going to make a royal mess. Look, I had a preacher friend. If I called his name, you'd know him, and probably the rest of you preachers would know him. One of the greatest preachers in America. And a fella molested his daughter. Well, she was party to it, and she was over 18. And I got word, he was my close friend, this preacher, and I got word that my preacher friend was going to kill him and said so. Well, you hear this stuff, people get mad and they blow smoke. But I knew this man. He never said anything that he didn't mean. I knew he was going to kill him. So I called him up. I said, here, you got a problem. He said, yeah, but I won't after tomorrow night. I said, tell me about it. He said, I'm going to kill him. I said, you're not going to. He said, yeah, I am too. And at that point, my worst suspicions were confirmed. He was going to kill that boy. As sure as I'm alive, he was going to kill that boy. I didn't have time to get to him and knew it. I said, let me come talk to you. He said, I ain't got time. He lost his mind. When you go into sin, you don't have your right mind. That's the reason when the prodigal, prodigal wasn't retarded, but when he came to himself, When he finally talked to himself, he realized he was in no man's land. And I said to him, I said to my preacher friend, I said, look, okay, so he's done you wrong. He's done you about as wrong as a boy could do any man. If he walked up and took a knife and ran it in your back, it wouldn't be as cruel as what he's done to you. But I said, are you going to allow him to do more wrong than he already has? Are you going to allow him to set you in a prison, to rot in a prison for the rest of your life? Is that what you're going to let this boy do to you? Are you going to let him do 10 times more wrong to you than he's already done? What's done is done. You can't change it. And I said another thing. I said, are you going to allow him to take you away from your other children that need you? Are you going to allow him to take you away from your wife? Are you going to allow him to break your wife's heart and for her to sit tormented the rest of her life because her husband killed a man that's in prison? And I said another thing. Are you going to allow him to take your ministry away from you and your church and destroy all those people? And I said, and he got quiet. See, what I wasn't telling him much. I was just getting him to talk to himself. And I said another thing. Okay, go ahead and kill him. He got quiet. But when you do, kill her too. She's as guilty as he was. She went along with it. He didn't rape her. She's as guilty as he was. Now go ahead. He's got quiet. I was hollering at him. Go ahead. Kill him. But be sure to kill your daughter too. If you don't, you'll lower down than snail spit. You hypocrite. Boy, I was laying it on. He's my friend. And I knew I was in the arena. And I knew it was life or death. And he got quiet. It's been some years ago, and to this day, he will tell you. He calls me. He won't tell what it was, but he'll tell you, Brother Larry Brown saved my life. Man, I just did what I had to do. I got him to talk to himself. Rhonda, my wife, and I, Sunday before last, preached at Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. Closed out Sunday night. I was preaching Sunday morning. I told the story you just heard. I told the story you just heard about my preacher friend going to kill a fellow. And I, in a closed service, we had people saved. It was a wonderful service. And I said, Brother Bobby, my wife's never seen your buildings here and all. And he said, oh, come on. And we walked. I walked and walked and walked. There are millions. Ain't that the beatenest place you ever saw? All over. And I mean, 45 minutes after service was over and everybody gone. And we came out of that last old building over there and started across the parking lot. And a bus captain at Gospel Light Baptist Church shot up in his little SUV. 10 truck. Oh, it's close to me. It's from here to that wall. Threw the door open, got out with his eyes on me and come walking just like this to me. I thought he's going to jump on me. Rhonda was standing to my left. Brother Bobby Robertson was standing to my right. And I thought, first of all, I thought he was going to hit me. I mean, he was ashen looking in the face, pale in the face. His eyes just right straight to me. He walked up to me and I just got my stance. I was ready for about whatever would come. First thought hit my mind, I'm not going to let him hurt my wife and I'm not going to let him hurt my pastor. And he said, he just walked up and said, you don't know who you're preaching to, do you? I said, no, sir. Sometimes we don't. He said, let me tell you something. He said, a 21-year-old girl this week raped my 12-and-a-half-year-old daughter. It wasn't technically by birth his daughter, but she lived in his home. He called her his daughter. His hands were trembling. He said, I want to show you something. At 8 o'clock last night, I started texting him. This is a bus captain. He said, I started texting him. He said, I've been texting him from 8 o'clock last night to 1:30 this morning. And he's trembling. He's showing us. He said, I've been befriending him. I've been becoming his friend because I made me an appointment with him. I was going to kill him. He said, I had everything ready. He's trembling. And he said, when you told that story this morning, I got to thinking. I got him talking to himself. Rhonda was standing there. She started crying. He said, I got to thinking. Well, at that point, I wasn't sure I had him stop, Daryl. And so I knew I was safe then at that point. I was safe, and my wife and my pastor. And I said, now I want to ask you a question. Fella, are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm all right. He said, I'm shook up. That fella, that boy was as sure as dead as if I'm standing on this platform. You never know who you're preaching to. And by the way, that I had 100 sermons I could have preached that blown the doors off this morning, but you never know who you're preaching to on a morning like this. And if you go, listen, if you're tempted, whether it's anger or jealousy or lust or whatever you're tempted about, yeah. Terry Angel was my assistant pastor for 10 years. I hired him when he was 23. He's been in Bourbon, Illinois, pastoring, got a great church. We preach for each other. Terry Angel married a girl at 14 years old when I started the church. And then he had two little boys, had a little boy and a little girl while I was there, Hannah and Ben. And I walked in and out of his office many times, Terry's office, and every time he walked out, he had a little piece of paper there, and this is what it said to himself. What I do today will affect Hannah and Ben tomorrow. Did you know Hannah is married to one of the assistant pastors of Keith Gomez, full-time ministry? And did you know Ben has been a missionary in Madagascar for years? And did you know they had several children after that, and they're all serving God, loving the Lord, and doing right? One of them's his assistant pastor, another one marrying a wonderful preacher's daughter from down. Hey, he talked to himself. Talk to yourself. Hey, next time you're tempted, teenagers or teenagers' mamas and daddies, the next time you're tempted, look in the mirror and say, when I look in this mirror in the morning, how am I going to feel about myself? What am I going to say to myself in the morning? Am I willing to pay the price?
Amen.
Am I willing to pay the price for this sick, sordid, sensual, sexual, little satanic charade? Am I willing to pay the price of my life, my testimony, my name, my ministry, my family? Stop and talk to yourself. Amen. The devil don't have any good deals.
Amen.
Talk to yourself in the hour of temptation. Talk to yourself in the hour of temptation. Look, let me give you this. We got some. How many young people do we have in the building, 19 years of age and under? Stand up! You'll be shocked to know how many there are. Stand right there and let me tell you something. When I started my church, I had a 14-year-old teenage girl by the name of Joyce Christner. Now stay with me. Joyce Christner. And when I started the church, started from scratch, I took John Christner, her daddy, and one other fellow to Hammond, Indiana, to a pastor school. They didn't even know there was a church in Hammond. And it tore John Christner up so bad, Brother Darrell. It tore him up so bad to see what was going on there. He came home and told his 14-year-old daughter he was pulling her and her brother, Steve Christner, out of the school they were in. They wasn't in a good school. They're going to jerk them out of the school. And he found somebody to board them in Chicago. And he was putting them in Hammond Baptist High School. I'm not sure I would have done what he done. I think I'd have homeschooled and forgotten if I didn't have a Christian school. But that's what he did. Now watch me very carefully. When that happened, how would you feel as a 14-year-old girl? You know what Joyce said? I heard her tell it later. She said, I thought, what am I going to do? I can't leave my friends. I can't walk out of my school. I can't go to, I'm a country girl. I hate Chicago. And to live in the home of a stranger and go to a school where I don't know anybody, what am I going to do? She's talking to herself. And I heard her say this. She said, finally, here's what I said to myself. I don't know what I'm going to do. My face against the wall. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just know what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to walk over my daddy. I'm not going to walk over my mother. I'm not going to become a rebel. I'm not going to run away from home. I'm not going to turn out to be a devil just because I didn't like what my daddy was going to do to me. She talked to herself. She didn't like it any more than you would like it if it happened to you, but she just grit her teeth and bore it and went on because she talked to herself. That girl graduated from Hammond Baptist High, went to Hollis Anderson College, met Terry Angel, the guy I was just talking about, and had 6 children by him. She's been a successful pastor's wife and speaks in ladies' conferences, and God has used her, and her children are being used all over the country, and she's been in the will of God because she talked to herself. Teenagers, you're going to have to talk to yourself.
Amen.
You're going to have to talk to yourself in the hour of temptation. Talk to your. Drag up a chair. Set yourself down and say, now, self, you sit down there. I'm going to have a talk with you. Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. You may be seated, please. And then let me just say this, and I'm done. I got 2 minutes. I'll just mention it and be done. Talk to yourself in the hour of salvation. You know, 4 leprous men said in the gate, Darrell, you can preach. It's a good sermon. I'm not preaching a sermon, but you can take this outline and use it. Hey, 4 leprous men sat in the gate, and they said, why sit we here till we die? Who were they talking to? God? No. They didn't know God. They said, why are we going to sit here till we die? Let's go over yonder. If they kill us, we'll be. But dead, it'd be better to die instantly than to starve to death. Let's just get out of here. Hey, if you're lost this morning, if I was you, I'd have a little conversation with myself.
Amen.
I talk to myself. A preacher that I know, he was running 3,000 at the time. A preacher, you know, if I called his name, he said, I was conducting an invitation on a Sunday morning, people getting saved everywhere. And I mean, you know, and he said, I looked down, my wife is standing in front of the pulpit, and I thought, well, she wants something. He said, I leaned over and said, honey, what can I do for you? She looked up and says, I ain't going to hell for you or nobody else. He said, what? She said, you heard me? I ain't going to hell for you or nobody else. He said, what are you talking about? She said, I'm lost. And I just sat back and I said to myself, I ain't going to live another day without getting saved.
Amen.
If you're here without Jesus Christ, you need to have a little talk with yourself. You are stupid if you don't talk to yourself. Walk out of here when you're one heartbeat from hell. Drag up a chair. Set yourself down and say, self, you are an idiot to live another second. One heartbeat from hell. Talk to yourself. I commune with my own heart upon my bed, and my spirit made diligent search. I consulted with myself, Nehemiah said. Let's bow our heads in prayer. It's exactly 12:30. Preacher, you come close in prayer, whatever you want to do.